Last week, our nation buried our 39th president, Jimmy Carter. The service was at the National Cathedral. And Jimmy Carter's grandson, Joshua, gave a eulogy, a heartfelt, meaningful celebration of his life, which he called his story, the story of love. The story that his grandfather had for the Lord, a deep faith that he had in Christ, his love for his wife, for his family, for his country, for the state of Georgia, where he was from, and his hometown of Plains, which he never left. This was his beloved grandson speaking about his beloved grandfather. Beloved to beloved. That's what we see in Jesus' baptism. We see his beloved father speaking to and about his beloved son. Beloved to beloved. But also to us, beloved to beloved, as God also manifests and shows this epiphany of God's love, which is what we are also recipients of through Christ. God is essentially saying, "This is my son, the one in whom I have placed my love, the one who pleases me." In other words, I love you. I love him. The great commandment is for us to love God with our whole being, to love our neighbor as we would want to be loved ourselves, to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength, to be in this loving relationship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and to also be in relationship, in a loving relationship, with each other. Tragically, some parents and some children do not say, "I love you," very often. Is that your practice? Is it your practice to say, "I love you," to the ones in your family often, daily perhaps? To say, "I'm proud of you. You please me." This was not an unusual day for God, but it was the one day that we were able to witness this voice of the Heavenly Father speaking, "I love you," to his son. Tragically, some children don't get the physical affection that they need in order to be a healthy person. Some children don't receive good gifts from their parents or their families. Some don't receive the sort of positive affirmation and acceptance and attention that they need. Some are never played with the way they need to be played with. Or their parents don't show up to their athletic events or their musical performances. We call these parents deadbeats. But empathy would say that it seems that they had never received that kind of love themselves. They've never experienced that kind of love, and so they don't know how to love their children the way God has called us to love, because they haven't received it themselves. What we see in our text today is the many ways that God says, "I love you." And it gives us a cue. It gives us a hint on how we can be more loving, not only to God, but also to each other. Gary Chapman has a book called The Five Love Languages, and he gives us five clear ways of how to love one another. And five different ways that we as human beings receive love, One is to love through words of affirmation. Secondly, to love through physical touch. Love by giving and receiving gifts. Love through spending quality time. And finally, loving through acts of service, doing something for the other. What Gary Chapman says is that some of us don't know how to receive love unless it's in our love language. And that it's good for us as parents and as siblings, and it's good for us as children to know how to love one another and to know what feeds a person's love language. It's a great way to learn how to express love in the fullness of how God shows his love for his son, even in this baptism, where God gives a word of affirmation to Jesus, that love language, by saying, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." Where there's that physical touch of the water rolling and pouring down the back of Jesus. Through the giving of gifts, God sends the Holy Spirit, not just to Jesus, but to all of us as his gift. God spends this quality time. We don't know how long it took, but God met Jesus in this intimate moment and was there, was present. He showed up time and time again. And in that love, that act of service, where God proclaims Jesus, his only begotten, his specially born one. God wants us to love as he has loved us. I like what the song Jackie Shannon sang in the 70s, maybe you know it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing in the world there's just too little of. Baptism shows us this very human need that we have to show our love to one another, to actually articulate it to one another, to demonstrate it as a way of habit and a way of being. In Christ's baptism, God expresses this love by saying, "You are my beloved. In you, I am well pleased." All of us need that. We need that unconditional love. We need to be reminded that we are enough, that we are seen, that we are worthy. We are acceptable. We're not broken goods. That there is someone. Actually, there is the one that cares in this world for us. And so it makes us beg the question, when's the last time we have been the source of that for someone else? Where we've reached out and let a person know that they are deeply loved and appreciated just for who they are. Fred Rogers would, in his TV show, would often remind all the children that you're special. I like you just the way you are. He was a good Presbyterian pastor. I also like the song, "It's a Beautiful World." I see friends shaking hands and saying, "How do you do?" What they're really saying is, "I love you." Later in the service, we'll have this opportunity to greet one another with words of peace, to shake hands. And it's not just a "how do you do?" Of course, it could be just that in a good morning. But even more than that, it's our way of expressing solidarity together, that we are all bound up in the same gospel by Jesus and his baptism, that we're all children of God, and that we're all connected and knit together in Christian love. We call baptism a sacrament. But if you think about it, it's just another way of God saying, I love you. You are mine. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved child. You please me. Have you ever thought about that? That God not only loves us unconditionally, but he actually is pleased by you. He even likes us. And so God gives God's self selflessly and sacrificially in his baptism so that we too can give ourselves back selflessly and sacrificially to one another in our baptism. Later in the service too, we will have an opportunity to hear God say once again, I love you. I have given myself sacrificially and selflessly to you in my body, with my blood, with this meal, bread and wine. You are mine. Last week we mourned the loss of another person, Audrey Schultz, who used to make those little lambs back there that you see on the back wall. Judy Setter now makes those for us. But she participated in all these baptisms for decades, and her legacy continues with us today. We are reminded that we too are deeply loved by the Savior and that we're brought into his fold, and as you see, even into the arms of Jesus through holy baptism, where he says to us, you are the beloved. In you, I am pleased. God expresses this infinite love to his Son, but also has that same infinite love for you and me that he expresses. Each time we go to the font and every time we come to the table, every time we show up for one another, just as he shows up for us, so that we can say, I am baptized in Christ. I am a royal child of the Heavenly Father. We're precious children, recipients of God's infinite love and affection. He sees you. He knows you intimately. You are lovable. He loves you. He likes you. In the name of Jesus, amen.